الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our readings in the chapter القلب هو الأصل the heart it is the foundation we have seen a number of benefits that the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى with regards to this basing this chapter on the narration of النعمان بن بشير radiyallahu anhuma, and following up that with some transmission from the statements of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, from the statements of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, clarifying that every commandment and prohibition, everything that the believer is ordered to establish, any from the halal and from the haram, and that which he must perform from the actions of obedience, that which is obligatory and recommended, and likewise from the actions that are forbidden, that a person he must avoid and stay away from that which is forbidden, as well as those affairs that are doubtful or unclear. And likewise, even that which is disliked. All of these affairs, they require knowledge and an intention to establish them. So the issue goes back to the heart. Before a person he can establish any of these commandments or any of these great sacred rites, either performing them from the good deeds or avoiding them from the evil and bad deeds, this requires knowledge. Knowledge in the heart is the place for knowledge and understanding and comprehension. And likewise, it requires an intention to comply, to perform those actions, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish those rights inwardly and outwardly. And the first one to be held accountable for this will be the heart. So before a person can perform an action, he must know that action. He must intend that action and desire to do that action for the sake of Allah. And likewise, before a person he can avoid any actions of disobedience, he must know them. And he must know that there's a threat of punishment and the anger of Allah for those who perpetrate them. And then he will leave it with that intention. So if a person he were to fall short in performing the obligations and establishing the rights of Islam, or if he were to violate some of the limits and transgress the boundaries and perpetrate that which is impermissible, then the first one to be taken to account for that will be the heart. As he mentioned the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, كَانَ أَوَّلُ الْمَعْسِيَ مِنْهُ بَلْ كَانَ هُوَ الْعَاصِي وَغَيْرُهُ تَابِعٌ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ. That disobedience will occur from the heart first and foremost, and the heart will be considered the one in disobedience, and the rest of the limbs and body parts, the rest of the organs, they're following behind in line with the heart, So this is something that is very dangerous, and a person, he'll be taken to account for that which is in his heart. And if we think about these affairs and we ponder over this issue of the greatness of the heart and the affair of the heart, and likewise the dangers related to the heart, we'll find there is a great need to learn and to study these affairs in detail. And in reflecting and pondering over some verses in the Book of Allah, one will find this, that the heart, if a person's heart is corrupted, it will lead him to disobedience. And al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, and the recompense is according to the type of action. And a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and violates the limits with a particular limb or body part or in a particular manner, then he'll be punished accordingly. I was reflecting and pondering over some of the short surahs from that surah Al-Humazah, and I found this affair here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the chapter that we're all well aware of, surah Al-Humazah. And Allah, he mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, after the Basmala, Bismillahi Rahmanir Rahim, Wail, Likulli Humazatin Lumaza, woe to every slanderer and backbiter. And this is an action that is done with the tongue. Many times it's done with the tongue. The one who is slandering and backbiting generally is done with the tongue. Although a person, he can also slander individuals and put them down and belittle them by his eyes, looking at them and making eye movements and the likes like this, or making body language to look at somebody, or even sometimes maybe he'll stick his tongue out to show disgust for a person or for that individual and the likes like this, or for something that they said, or to put them down and to belittle them by ways of body language or sign language and the likes like this. And all of this is included here. But in general, the backbiting and slandering, the first place it would occur is with the tongue. So the tongue is only reflecting and dishing out that which is found in the heart. And likewise, the actions as well. So Allah, He mentions woe and wail. Wail is a threat for halak and adab, any destruction and punishment for everyone who is a slanderer and backbiter. Alladhi jama'a malan wa addada. And He is the one, from His attributes, is He has gathered the wealth and counted it. And He's gathering the wealth and counting it. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He thinks that his wealth will cause him to last forever. And he thinks that his wealth will be a means to cause him to have a long-lasting life. Allah, He mentions about this individual, this backbiter, this slanderer, the one who is attached to the worldly life, and the worldly life has overcome his heart in this manner. كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. No, rather, verily, he will be thrown into the crushing fire. This is from the names of the hellfire. We know that the hellfire has a number of names. From them, al-hutamah. Al-hutamah, li'annaha tuhattimu kullu ma yulqa fiha. It's called al-hutamah, which literally means something that is crushing and pounding. And this is because the fire is so severe. It's because the fire is so severe, it will crush and pound everything that is cast into it. So this is from the names of the hellfire, like Jahim and Jahannama and Saqar and the likes, and Nar. And also from that, Al-Hutama. And also from that, Al-Hutama. So the hellfire, it has a number of different names, all indicating this affair, all indicating the severe punishment and the torment that will occur there. So Allah, He's mentioning this affair. وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. What would make you know what is the crushing fire? نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ. It is the fire of Allah which is kindled. الْمُوْقَدَةِ. Yani the fire of Allah which is kindled. And we know that وَقُود النَّارِ النَّاسِ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. That the fuel of the fire, the kindle for the fire is men and stones. Any individuals, they will be the fuel for the fire that will keep it burning and lit and blazing. Wa liyadu billah. And then Allah, He mentions about this fire that is ignited in this manner. Allati tattari'u ala al-af'ida. That which reaches the hearts. That which reaches the hearts. Any of the fire, it goes through the bodies and pierces them until it reaches the hearts. And this is because the hearts, they are mawtinu al-kufr wal-isyan wal-aqa'id al-fasida. Because the heart is the place for disbelief and disobedience, and the place for the corrupt and evil creeds, and likewise the foul and lowly intentions. So therefore, the people in the fire, not only will the fire burn their skins, and they will be tortured in their body, rather it will reach their hearts. It will reach their hearts. The fire will pierce their bodies and reach their hearts, and the hearts they will be punished. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ أَلَيْتِ تَطَّرِئُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. Meaning the fire, it will reach up to their hearts, and their hearts will be punished because of their sins. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةً فِي أَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةً. And verily it shall be closed upon them. Meaning the hellfire will have gates and doors, and they will be locked. And likewise, to emphasize the fact that they will not open their pillars stretched forth. And these pillars closing them so that they will not be opened. يريدون أن يخرجوا منها وما هم بخارجين منها. And they will want to get out and they will not be able to. So the point is that the heart is sins, and the actions of disobedience that are performed with the limbs, that are performed with the tongue first and foremost, then with the eyes and the ears, and also with the hands. And a person, he must walk and use his feet to head in that direction and to achieve what he's desiring or lusting for from those impermissible whims and desires, those impermissible lusts. It's the heart first and foremost that is accountable. It's the heart that first and foremost that is accountable. So the hearts, from the descriptions of the hearts, is that the أَنَّهَا تَكُونَ عَاصِيَةً قُلُوبٌ عَاصِيَةً. Disobedient hearts. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The next chapter, the author, he mentions, is أَوْصَافِ الْقُلُوبِ, is the descriptions of the hearts. And the hearts have come with a number of descriptions in the Book of Allah. Beautiful descriptions. قَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ. Qalb al-Munib, a repentant heart. Qalb al-Salim, a sound heart. yani the khulub allati takhbitu li rabbiha, khulub that humble themselves and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the heart can have some very beautiful and lofty and beneficial traits and attributes, and also it can have some filthy and lowly traits and attributes, and based upon that will determine the quality of the actions. The quality of the actions, and in turn likewise the quality of life and happiness and joy and peace of mind and ease and his heart in this life and in the grave and in the hereafter. In this life and in the grave and in the hereafter. So we had stopped in our previous class discussing the issue of a taqwa, mentioning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified that it's in the heart. At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. At-taqwa, the fear of Allah and sincere piety is here, pointing to his chest. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning to his heart. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the place where the taqwa, it resides and begins. And from there, it proceeds. So if it is truly in the heart and it is grounded and sound and firm, then it will be displayed on the tongues and on the hands. And at-taqwa is from the word al-wiqayah. It's from the word al-wiqayah, which means a barrier or means a protection, a shield or a guard. That's the meaning of the word al-wiqayah. The word al-wiqayah, which the word taqwa comes from. So at-taqwa hiya wiqayah tuntaqi al-abda min ghadab Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sakhatihi. The taqwa, it is a shield that will protect the person from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will taqi al-abda min ghadab Allahi wa adhabihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a shield that will protect a person from the anger of Allah and his punishment. From the anger of Allah and his punishment. And the reality of that shield is that it is bifi'li al-awamir wa tark al-nawahi. To summarize, bifi'li al-awamir wa tarki al-nawahi. By performing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions. By performing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions. This is the definition that people have not, as they mentioned, about taqwa. So the reality of a taqwa is by performing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions. But a taqwa hahuna, but the taqwa is here. From the greatest commandments after the commandment of al-tawheed and establishing the shahadatain is to establish the salah. And that's an action. So if the taqwa is hahuna, is right here, then the salah will be established in the best manner. In the best manner, in the proper time, in the proper way, observing all of the conditions and pillars and obligations and recommended affairs in order to establish it properly inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. But if the taqwa is not here, or if it's there but it's very weak, then the salat likewise will fall weak and it will be short. And a person who will become negligent in performing that great rite. So the reality of a taqwa is in performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. So this will be in the rectification of the limbs, but it begins in the heart. So Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned a great benefit, and I indicated that in our previous class in the end, before closing, and he mentioned, rahimahullah, and I summarized, صلاح القلب يكون بالإيمان علما وعملا قلبيا علما وعملا قلبيا. That the rectification of the heart, صلاح القلب يكون بالإيمان علما وعملا قلبيا. The rectification of the heart, it occurs by way of iman, based upon knowledge and the actions of the heart. Knowledge and the actions of the heart. In this manner, the heart becomes rectified. So we have to learn, we have to know, we have to learn about iman. And the foundation of iman is al-imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Allah. So the foundation and the head of the affair is the knowledge of al-tawheed. The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning specifically with tawheed, al-tawheed al-ilmi. Al-tawheed العلم توحيد المعرفة والإثبات وتوحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات توحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات. To have knowledge of Allah, to have knowledge, certain knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his actions and of who he is and of his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. Because whenever you know Allah, you will love him. And this is what we're created for. We're created to know Allah. The creation is the creation brought into existence so that Allah, he is known. Because whenever Allah, he is known properly in the manner that he has prescribed, then he will be loved and he will be worshipped and he will be obeyed. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must study and learn the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because by knowing him, one, he will surrender and submit, and the heart will begin to love Allah and prefer the love of Allah, and it will surrender and submit to Allah. And the more one he learns about the lordship of Allah and the supreme command and authority of Allah, and that nothing happens in this creation except with the permission of Allah, then the heart will not trust or rely upon anyone in the creation or anything in the creation, or have an ultimate hope for any benefit to come from anything in the creation, or fear absolutely anything in the creation, because nothing in the creation happens, no good can come about, and no harm can be avoided or lightened except by the permission of the Creator. So the one who learns these affairs, then he will attach his heart with love and trust and reliance and hope and fear to the Creator, not to the creation. To the Creator, not to the creation. And the more one learns likewise about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will begin to learn about his law and legislation. And that if you truly hope to have the help of Allah and the aid of Allah and the mercy of Allah and the blessing of Allah, if one is really seeking the pleasure of Allah, he must submit and surrender outwardly. He must submit and surrender outwardly in obedience. So all of these are affairs in the heart. First and foremost, knowledge. Knowledge that will lead the heart to move, that will lead the heart to move with love, and it will lead the heart to move with reverence and with fear and with trust and reliance and with submission and surrender and with humbleness. And it will lead the heart to be shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fear Him and to fear Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then whenever the heart is full with these ideas, with these actions here, and if the heart is moving in this manner based upon sincere and correct faith, then the body parts, they fall in line properly. Then the body parts, they fall in line properly. But whenever these actions here, they weaken, then these actions of the heart, they weaken, then this will be seen in the actions on the limbs and the body parts. On the limbs and the body parts. التقوى هنا. The Shaykh he said, فالقلوب هي الأساس. The hearts, they are the foundation. في الاستقامة على تقوى الله جل وعلا حقا وصدقا استقامة الجوارح. استقامة الجوارح كلها عملا بطاعة الله وطلبا لنيل رضاه جل في علاه. استقامة الجوارح كلها عملا بطاعة الله وطلبا لنيل رضاه جل في علاه. The hearts, they are the foundation. So if the hearts, they are upright upon the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, حقاً وصدقاً, any truthfully and in reality, truthfully and in reality, and it's not just mere claims or lip service, rather the taqwa is founded in the heart, the taqwa is found in the heart, and it is grounded firm and deeply rooted and taken hold in a person's heart till where it's seen in his life, in his conduct, in his manners. Now the body parts, they will be upright, all of them, working in the obedience of Allah and seeking to obtain His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, that statement from Shaykh al-Islam, I summarize, rahimahullah, salah al-qalbi yakunu bil-imani ilman wa amalan qalbiyan. Ilman wa amalan qalbiyan. Ponder over this statement. Ponder over this statement. The rectification of the heart is by way of iman. By way of iman. What does he say? By way of iman, ilman. Yani with knowledge. Knowledge-based faith. The knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. The knowledge of the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. The knowledge of the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal. The knowledge of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. The knowledge of the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, amalan qalbiyan. So this knowledge will not truly benefit a person. His heart will not be rectified simply by knowledge, but rather that knowledge must sink into his heart until his heart starts to move. Until his heart starts to move. The greatest movements of the heart, the greatest actions of the heart, the foundations of ibadah, love, hope, and fear. Love, hope, and fear. Love, hope, and fear. These points here, they're called arkan. Arkan al-ta'abbud al-qalbiyya. Arkan al-ta'abbud al-qalbiyya. The pillars of the worship of the heart. Every action of worship performed outwardly with the body or with the tongue, if it's not based upon these pillars here, then it's considered misguidance, or it's considered heedlessness or negligence, or it could be considered hypocrisy according to the level of an individual. Where the other billah, the Shaykh, he indicated this in the previous class. The Shaykh, he indicated this, we read in our previous class. Hafidhullahu ta'ala. So Shaykh al-Salam, he says, وَلَازِمُ ذَلِكَ ضَرُورَةً صَلَاحُ الْجَسَدِ بِالْقَوْلِ الظَّاهِرِ والعملي بالإيمان المطلق. And that which this requires and necessitates. And whenever a person's heart is rectified by way of knowledge, and by way of knowledge and the actions of the heart, now his heart becomes sound, his heart becomes alive, his heart becomes good, his heart becomes wholesome, his heart becomes beneficial, his heart is alive and moving in the avenues of goodness, that which is pleasing to Allah, that which this requires and necessitates. That which this requires by way of necessity is the rectification of the body. And this is by the outward statements and likewise the outward actions and the application of al-iman al-mutlaq. Al-Iman al-Mutlaq, in reference to performing the obligatory rites of faith. The obligatory rites of faith. So whenever the heart is sound with beneficial knowledge, and then it sinks into the heart until the heart moves with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and submission and servitude and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this requires and necessitates for the statements outwardly to be good and to be upright and to be beneficial and to not be harmful. And to not be lowly, and to not be foul. And likewise, it requires and necessitates for a person to start outwardly applying the actions of al-Iman, the sacred rites and obligations of faith. There are obligations of faith. Yani from performing the obligatory actions and establishing that which is obligatory from the actions of obedience, and avoiding and refraining and staying away from that which is forbidden. This will happen by way of the rectification of the heart. The rectification of the heart is by way of knowledge, and then by way of the heart to begin moving based upon that knowledge. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, man kana billahi a'raf, kana minhu akhwaf. That whoever has more knowledge of Allah, he will fear him more. وَمَنْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ. And he will seek the worship of Allah more. He will be more dedicated and devoted to the worship of Allah. More dedicated and devoted to the worship of Allah. وَعَنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. And further away from the disobedience of Allah. And further away from the disobedience of Allah. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَعَنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. That whenever a person has more knowledge of Allah, he gains more knowledge of Allah, it will cause him to fear Allah. So a person who gains knowledge of the religion, but it does not cause him to fear Allah, that knowledge will not benefit him, rather it's a proof against him. So the knowledge that is beneficial for an individual, because the legislative knowledge is beneficial in itself, but it will not be beneficial for an individual until it sinks in his heart and causes him to have fear of Allah and reverence of Allah, and to submit and surrender to Allah, and cause him to seek to draw near to Allah by obeying him, and cause him also to refrain from the actions of disobedience that would earn him the anger of Allah. That would earn him the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, he referred to this in his book, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only the scholars, the people of knowledge, who truly have reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not that no one else fears, rather the laymen likewise, they have khashya, need to a certain degree. But those who truly have khashya, the people of khashya, the people of fear, those who fear Allah and revere Him and honor Him in the best manner, they are the people of knowledge. So the more one he has knowledge, the more that knowledge should draw him near to Allah and cause him to fear Allah and not feel safe from the punishment of Allah and not feel safe from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah azza wa jal. Rather, it will cause him to seek nearness to Allah by obeying him. And the one who wants to obey Allah, he will begin with the obligations and establishing them daily in his life, and beginning by leaving off and turning away from the prohibitions, all of them, and leaving them and avoiding them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh, he says now, Hafidhullah. The Shaykh, he says now, Hafidhullah. He's mentioning a narration. He's going to mention now some transmissions from Ibn Rajab. Some transmissions from Ibn Rajab. And we know that this first hadith here that he began with, which was the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, Ahsanta, radiallahu anhu, is from the 40 hadith. Which hadith is it? As-Sadis, Ahsanta, al-Hadith as-Sadis, the sixth narration. All of this was mentioned in the first class. We took some benefits in the first class only related to that narration. So this is a benefit. And even whenever the people of knowledge, they see that a hadith, for example, is found in the 40 hadith, this lets you know
that this is from those hadith that consist of great fundamentals and foundations that the religion of Al-Islam revolve around. Because An-Nawawi, hafizahullah, he only chose those type of narrations for these 40. And then likewise, these 40 hadith have shown great care and concern from the people of knowledge, and there are many explanations for these specific narrations. And this is very beneficial for a person who's going to research and try to have a good understanding of the narrations and look into what the people of knowledge have mentioned. So from the best of those works written in the explanation and commentary on these 40 hadith is Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam by Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala. So one, he will find great benefits. If he finds that the hadith is in the 40 hadith, this is a reference that he'll refer to. Or if he finds that the hadith, for example, is in Sahih Bukhari, then he will likewise refer to Fath al-Bari by Ibn Hajar. We refer to Fath al-Bari by Ibn Rajab likewise. Or if we find that the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, he referred to the Sharh of Sahih Muslim by An-Nawawi, so on and so forth. So knowing these resources and the explanation that the books of the Shuruhat and explanations of these great works of hadith that we have been discussing in our previous classes, Kutub al-Sitta and the likes like this. So not only did the authors author these works, but after them, the people of knowledge had great care and concern for them, clarifying the narrations therein and deriving the rulings that are found from those narrations and mentioning great benefits related to those hadith. So from those who spoke about this hadith here, specifically Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, so the author, he's now going to mention some transmissions from him and in this particular work. So he says, the Shaykh, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ عَنْ أَنِسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ قَلْبُهُ. The author, he mentioned, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ, that in the Musnad, Al-Musnad, yani by Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, from the hadith of Anas ibn Malikin, radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ قَلْبُهُ, that the iman of a person will not be upright and steadfast until his heart is upright and steadfast. A person's iman, yani his deen, is going to find out what that means, his actions, will not be upright and proper and correct until his heart is upright and proper. Qala al-Hafidh ibn Rajib. Qala al-Hafidh ibn Rajib, rahimahullah, al-Hafidh ibn Rajib, he says, rahimahullah, وَالْمُرَادُ بِاسْتِقَامَةِ إِيمَانِهِ إِسْتِقَامَةُ أَعْمَالِ جَوَارِحِهِ. So that which is intended from his iman being upright in this narration here. لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِيمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ قَلْبُهُ. What is intended from istiqamat imanihi, from his faith being upright, a person's faith, his iman will not be upright until his heart is upright. A person's iman, his faith, will not be steadfast and upright until his heart is upright and steadfast. He's saying, rahimahullah, that what is intended from al-istiqamah, the steadfastness or the uprightness of his iman, is the steadfastness and uprightness of the actions of his limbs and body parts. So he says, فَإِنَّ أَعْمَالَ الْجَوَارِحَ لَا تَسْتَقِيمُ إِلَّا بِاسْتِقَامَةِ الْقَلْبِ. Because the actions of the body parts, they will not be upright except by the steadfastness and uprightness of the heart. وَمَعْنَى إِسْتِقَامَةِ الْقَلْبِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُمْتَلِئًا مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ وَمَحَبَّةِ طَاعَتِهِ وَكَرَاهَةِ مَعْسِيَتِهِ. And the meaning of the heart being steadfast and upright, this word al-istiqama, to be upright, to be steadfast, to be good and proper. The meaning of the heart being upright and steadfast, it means that the heart will be full of the love of Allah, and full of the love of the obedience of Allah, and full of the detest and dislike of the disobedience of Allah. So this is what it means for the heart to be upright. That the heart, it will love Allah, and it will love the obedience of Allah. It will love Allah, and it will love the obedience of Allah. How can someone love Allah if they do not know Him? How can someone love Allah if they do not know Him? So this is indication, likewise, going back to the issue of al-tawheed, al-tawheed al-ilmi, that we have to learn about Allah. Learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His science and His creation around us that indicate His majesty and His authority and command, indicate His mercy and His kindness and His power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ponder likewise and look into His science as well, and His Qur'an, and His book and His speech, and also the science that can be seen as well in the biography and the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all indicating that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In this manner, a person, he will begin to love Allah. The love of Allah will enter his heart because he will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his signs, bi ayatihi al-kawniyya wa ayatihi al-shar'iyya, by his universal signs in the creation and by his legislative signs that are recited in the book, in the noble Quran. And then based upon that, his heart will be full of the love of obedience of Allah. Because it's by way of the obedience of Allah that one, he will obtain the love of Allah. So if a person, he truly loves Allah, then he will hope that Allah loves him. And we should not fool ourselves. We should not fool ourselves. Allah, he will love you. Allah, he will love us whenever we obey him. قُلِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. This is the key. If say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, then Allah will love you. Then Allah will love you. So Ibn Kathir, he mentioned that some of the hukama, they said, some of the wise scholars, they said, لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبَّ إِنَّمَا شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبَّ. It's not about you loving, but rather it's about you being loved. This is the main affair, is about you being loved. Because everyone, they claims to love Allah. Even the Jews and the Christians, they say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَحِبَّاءُ. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَحِبَّاءُ. They say, we're the children of Allah and His beloved ones. We're the children of Allah and His beloved ones. And this is lip service. This is easy for everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tested the people with this verse. Because likewise, there were individuals, any from the Muslims, claiming they love Allah. And Allah tried them with this verse and followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in submission and obedience and humbleness. And humbleness and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the messenger as the role model, absolutely. Taking the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the role model, absolutely. So the person's heart will not be upright until it's full of the love of Allah and loving the obedience of Allah. And that is not established except by detesting and disliking everything contrary to that. And detesting the disobedience of Allah. And this is the favor of Allah and His blessing. This is the favor of Allah and His blessing. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ أُولَئِكَ هُمْ رَاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً. So this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who has the authority and command. He is the Lord, the Rabb of the Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will cause you to love Him if He wills, and He will make faith beloved to you in your heart. He will decorate your heart with faith. It is Allah who does these affairs. Guidance is in the hands of Allah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَالْإِيمَانِ. It is Allah who made the love dear to you. It is Allah who made Iman dear to you. It is Allah who made Iman dear to you. حَبَّبَ أَلَيْكُمْ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. He is the one who adorned it in your hearts. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ. He caused disbelief to be detestful to you. وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And likewise, corruption and disobedience. This is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His bounty. The grace of Allah Azza wa Jal and His bounty. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to love Him and to adorn our hearts with faith. And we say, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa kirrih ilayna al-kufra wa fusuq wa al-isyan. Allahumma ja'alna min ar-rashidin wa tawafana muslimin ghayra al-khazaya wa la maftunin. So this is something to hope for and desire, and to know that it's in the hands of Allah, and to ask Allah to make the faith beloved to you, and to adorn your heart with faith. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman waj'alna hudatil muhtadin. Oh Allah, adorn us with the adornment of faith and make us from those who are guided and a means to guide others. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma ihdini wa yassir al-huda li. Allahumma ihdini wa yassir al-huda li. Oh Allah, guide me and make the guidance easy for me. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakiha anta khayru man zakaha anta waliyuha mulaha. Oh Allah, grant my soul its piety. Oh Allah, grant my soul its piety. All of these are from the supplications of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indicating that he will call on Allah for his heart to be full of the love of Allah and piety and the fear of Allah. So this is in the hands of Allah. So if you hope to have that, then you must call on Allah and beg Him, and then take those legislative means that will lead you to that. That will lead you to that. Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, وَقَالَ الْحَسَنُ لِرَجُلٍ. Al-Hasan, he said to a man. Who is that? Al-Hasan. Becomes like this in the Al-Basri. Ahsant. Whenever the word Al-Hasan comes like this without any ascription, then generally with the people of knowledge are referring to Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah from the Tabi'in. He died in the year 110. Al-Hasan, he said to a man, Dawi qalbaka. Treat your heart. Dawi qalbaka. Dawi qalbika, yani treat your heart. Alij qalbaka. Yani you need to give your heart medication. You need to treat your heart with some medication. It's sick. فَإِنَّ حَاجَةَ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ عَلِبَادِ صَلَاهُ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Because the haja of Allah to form His slaves is the rectification of the hearts. Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, يَعْنِي أَنَّ مُرَادَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَمَطْلُوبَهُ صَلَاهُ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Meaning that that which Allah wants from the people, and that which is required from them, is that their hearts will be upright. And so Hassan is advising this person, rahimahullah, دَوِي قَلْبَكَ. You need to treat your heart. You need to look into your heart. You need to medicate your heart. You need to take the means to rectify your heart. Your heart is falling ill. It is the heart that is the place of examination, and that will be a means to draw you near to Allah or take you away from that. The means of success or failure in this life and the hereafter. He says, "Rahimahullah, فَلَا صَلَاحَ لِلْقُلُوبِ حَتَّى تَسْتَقِرَّ فِيهَا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ وعظمته ومحبته وخشيته ومهابته ورجاءه وتوكل عليه وتمتلئ من ذلك وهذا هو حقيقة التوحيد. He mentions some wonderful benefits. Now, رحمه الله تعالى ابن رجب الحنبلي. He says, فلا صلاح للقلوب حتى تستقر فيها معرفة الله. That the hearts will not be rectified and upright until the knowledge of Allah is firmly established in the heart. وَعَظَمَتُهُ, and also His majesty and greatness and reverence. وَمَحَبَّتُهُ, and His love. وَخَشَّتُهُ, and His fear. وَمَحَبَّتُهُ, and His great honor, having great honor and reverence for Him. وَرَجَاءُهُ, and hoping in Him. وَتَوَقُلُ عَلَيْهِ, and trusting and relying upon Him. وَتَمْتَرِئَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, until the hearts are full of this. So the heart will not be rectified until these affairs are gathered. And beginning with the knowledge of Allah. And then after that, the knowledge of the greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah. And likewise, the love of Allah and the reverence and fear of Allah. And the hope in Allah and trust and reliance upon Allah. And then the heart becomes full of that. Meaning the heart becomes full of these affairs. If something becomes full of something, there's no room in it for anything else. If the heart becomes full of something, there's no room in it for anything else. If the heart is full of the knowledge of Allah, the tawheed of Allah, and the reverence of Allah, and the majesty and glory of Allah, and the love of Allah, and hoping in Allah, and fearing and having reverence for Allah, and trusting and relying upon Allah, there's no room to love the creation. There's no room to love the creation, any for the sake of the creation. Rather, now the love for the creation would be based upon the love that's in the heart for the sake of Allah. So we love for the sake of Allah. And he will hate for the sake of Allah. And he will do what he needs to do to achieve and move safely through this life, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, because this is what he hopes for. And he's not attached to the creation. That's why he says now, Muhammadullah, وَهَذَا هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ التَّوْحِيدِ. And this is the reality of التَّوْحِيدِ. وَهُوَ مَعْنَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And this is the meaning of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. فَلَا صَلَاحَ لِلْقُلُوبِ حَتَّى يَكُونَ إِلَهُهَا الَّذِي تَأْلَهُهُ وَتَعْرِفُهُ وَتُحِبُّهُ وَتَخْشَاهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. So the hearts will never be rectified until its Ilah, the one whom it deifies, any the object of worship, the one whom it loves and surrenders and submits to, and obedience and worship and servitude, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the one that the heart knows, the one that the hearts know and love and fear and revere, is Allah alone with no partners. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ يُؤَلَّهُ سِوَى اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتْ بِذَلِكَ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. And had there truly been in the heavens and the earth another God, another ilah, true God, worthy of worship, that is deified besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, then the heavens and the earth will be corrupted. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, just as Allah the Most High, He says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَا. Had there been in the heavens and the earth gods besides Allah, any true gods besides Allah, then the heavens and the earth would have been corrupted. So Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, فَعُلِمَ بِذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَا صَلَاحَ لِلْعَالَمِ الْعُلُوِي وَالسُّفْلِي مَعًا حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَكَاتُ قُلُوبِ أَهْلِهَا كُلُّهَا لِلَّهِ وَحَرَكَاتُ الْجَسَدِ تَابِعَةٌ لِحَرَكَاتِ الْقَلْبِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ. So it's known from this now that there's no rectification in the heavens nor on the earth together, except whenever the movements of the heart of the people, all of them are for the sake of Allah. And likewise, the movements of the body, they are following in line with the movements of the heart and its desire.
So he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, فعلم بذلك أنه لا صلاح للعالم العلوي والسفلي معا حتى تكون حركات قلوب أهلها كلها لله.
It is known from this now that the rectification of the heavenly worlds in the earth and in the earth likewise, any meaning the heavens and the earth altogether, until there's no rectification for these affairs until the movements of the hearts of the people of the heavens and the earth, all of them are for the sake of Allah.
وحركه الجسد تابعه لحركه القلب وارادته.
And the movements of the body are following in line according to the movements of the heart and its intention.
فإن كانت حركته وإرادته لله وحده فقد صلح وصلحت حركة الجسد كله.
So if the movement of the heart and its intention is for the sake of Allah alone, then the heart will be rectified, and so the movements of the body as well, all of them will be rectified and upright.
وإن كانت حركة القلب وإرادته لغير الله تعالى فسدا وفسدت حركة الجسد بحسب فساد حركة القلب.
And if the movements of the heart and its intentions are for other than the sake of Allah the Most High, then the heart will become corrupted, and the movements of the body as well will be corrupted according to the amount of corruption found in the heart.
So this was then the author, he says, rahimahullah, wa fi sunan.
Yani now he's moving on to another statement, yani from Ibn Rajab likewise. It's not mentioned here, but likewise this is from the statements of Ibn Rajab as well.
رحمه تعالى وفي السنن عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أعطى لله ومنع لله وأحب لله وأبغض لله فقد استكمل الإيمان.
And also in the books of the Sunnah, it has been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, whoever gives for the sake of Allah and withholds for the sake of Allah and he loves for the sake of Allah and he hates for the sake of Allah, then indeed he has completed the faith. Then indeed he has completed the faith.
He says, وَمَعْنَ هَذَا أَنَّ حَرَكَاتِ الْقَلْبِ وَالْجَوَارِحِ إِذَا كَانَتْ كُلُّهَا لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ كَمُلَ إِيمَانُ الْعَبْدِ بِذَلِكَ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا.
The meaning of this is that if the movements of the heart and the limbs, all of them, if they're for the sake of Allah, then in this manner a person's faith will become complete inwardly and outwardly. And his faith will be completed inwardly and outwardly. So whenever a person, he loves Allah truly, he will begin to love for the sake of Allah. And then whenever he gives, he will give for the sake of Allah. Whatever he gives, whatever he does, whatever he sets forth, he will do that for the sake of Allah. Whatever he refrains from, whatever he withholds from, whatever he falls back from, he will do that for the sake of Allah. Even in some wordings of this narration, وَإِذَا نَكَحَ أَوْ إِذَا أَنْكَحَ أَنْكَحَ لِلَّهِ. And if he married, he'll marry for the sake of Allah. And if he give his daughter, for example, away in marriage, he will do that for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of the dunya. All of these things, they will become for the sake of Allah, because his heart is full of the love of Allah. This is what he's saying. So in this manner, the actions, the person's faith will become complete inwardly and outwardly. وَيَلْزَمُ مِنْ صَلَاحِ حَرَكَاتِ الْقَلْبِ صَلَاحُ حَرَكَاتِ الْجَوَارِحِ. And it's required, necessitated from the rectification of the movements of the heart, the rectification of the movements of the body parts. The movements of the body parts. So we remember that Iman is a statement in the heart, which is creed and belief and affirmation, and also actions of the heart. He's talking about the heart moving now. So there's a difference between Iman, the statement of the heart, and the actions of the heart. All of them are from Iman. But there's a difference between the foundation of Iman and then stemming from that the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart, the actions of love, the action of fear, the action of hope, the action of reverence, the action of awe, the action of submission, the action of devotion, the action of trust and reliance. All of these are from the actions of the heart that stem from the Iman that is found there. So whenever these actions are strong and these actions are good, then it requires that the the actions of the body parts, the movements of the body parts likewise will be upright. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْقَلْبُ صَارِحًا لَيْسَ فِيهِ إِلَّا إِرَادَةُ اللَّهِ وَإِرَادَةُ مَا يُرِيدُهُ لَمْ تَنْبَعِثْ الْجَوَارِحُ إِلَّا فِي مَا يُرِيدُهُ اللَّهِ. He said, so if the heart is upright and rectified and it does not have anything except the intention for Allah and intending that which Allah He wants from him, then the body parts will not set out to do anything except for that which Allah wants. فَسَارَعَتْ إِلَى مَا فِيهِ رِضَى. Now the body parts, they will hasten and rush to that which is, it leads to the pleasure of Allah. That which leads to the pleasure of Allah. وَكَفَّتْ عَمَّا يَكْرَهُهُ. And they will refrain and withhold from doing that which Allah He dislikes. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. وَعَمَّا يَخْشَى أَنْ يَكُونَ مِمَّا يَكْرَهُ. And likewise from that which he's afraid that possibly he doesn't like. Going back to the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir. And now he will start hastening to establish the obligations, and he will remain in the realm of that which is halal, and he will avoid that which is forbidden and clearly impermissible, and also he will refrain from those affairs that are doubtful because his heart is full of the love of Allah. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَيَقَنْ ذَلِكَ. Even if he was not certain, and his faith would carry him to establish these rights, even to avoid that which is doubtful out of fear that it might lead him to that which is displeasing to his Lord. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.